Today is the 24th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Great to be here with you today. Great to come in out of whatever it is that may be going on into our safe oasis here around the global campfire, where we set everything aside for just a little bit. This peaceful place in life that we're just letting the Bible speak for itself, taking us wherever it does, together. We're not alone. No matter how alone we may feel sometimes, we're not. We're here. We're together. I'm grateful for this time that we can spend every single day. Grateful for you. Grateful for all of us. And ready. Let's jump in. We have been led, as it goes, into some darker, or deeper, probably is the better word, deeper territory. We're in the book of Job and exploring pain, anguish, grief, loss, trauma, suffering. The Bible has led us here, and so, well, these things are things we avoid, but the Bible doesn't avoid them. So maybe avoidance isn't the best path. Maybe trying to suppress the pain of it isn't going to help. And maybe that's what the book of Job is showing us. So let's begin Job 12 through 15 today. Then Job answered and said, "Truly then you are the people, and with you wisdom will die. But I have a heart of wisdom as well as you. I do not fall short of you. And who does not know such things as these? I am a laughingstock to my friends, the one who called on God and he answered him. The righteous and blameless man is a laughingstock. As for upheaval, there is only contempt by the one who acts at ease, but it is prepared for those whose feet slip. The tents of the destroyers are complacent, and those who provoke God are secure, whom God brings into their power. But now ask the beasts, and let them instruct you, and the birds of the sky, and let them tell you. Are muse to the earth, and let it instruct you, and let the fish of the sea recount it to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of Yahweh has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living thing, and the breath of all the flesh of man? Does not the ear test words as the palate tastes its food? Wisdom is with aged men. With long life is discernment. With him are wisdom and might. To him belong counsel and discernment. Behold, he pulls down and it cannot be rebuilt. He closes a man in and it cannot be opened. Behold, he restrains the waters and they dry up. And he sends them out, and they overturn the earth. With him are strength and sound wisdom. The misled and the misleader belong to him. He makes counselors walk barefoot, and makes fools of judges. He opens the bond of kings and binds their loins with a belt. He makes priests walk barefoot and subverts the enduring ones. He removes speech from the faithful and takes away the discerning taste of the elders. He pours contempt on nobles and loosens the belt of the strong. He reveals mysteries from the darkness and brings out the shadows of death into light. He makes the nations great, then makes them perish. He enlarges the nations and leads them away. He removes the heart of wisdom from the heads of the earth's people and makes them wander in a pathless waste. They grope in darkness with no light, and he makes them wander about like a drunken man. Behold, my eye has seen all this. My ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I have not fallen short of you. But I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to argue with God. But you cover me with lies. You are all worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be completely silent, and that it would become your wisdom. Please hear my arguments and give heed to the contention of my lips. Will you speak what is unrighteous for God and speak what is deceitful for him? Will you show partiality for him? Will you contend for God? Will it be well when he examines you? Or will you deceive him as one deceives a man? He will surely reprove you if you secretly show partiality. Will not his exaltedness terrify you, and the dread of him fall on you? Your memorable sayings are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay. Be silent before me so that I may speak. Then let come on me what may. Why should I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hands? Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. This also will be my salvation. For a godless man may not come before his presence. Listen carefully to my words, and let my declaration fill your ears. Behold now, I have arranged my case for justice. I know that I will be declared righteous. Who will contend with me? For now I am silent and will breathe my last. Only two things do not do to me, and I will not hide from your face. Move your hand far from me, and let not the dread of you terrify me. Then call and I will answer, or let me speak, then respond to me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make known to me my transgression and my sin. Why do you hide your face and think of me as your enemy? Will you cause a driven leaf to tremble? Or will you pursue the dry chaff? For you write bitter things against me and make me to possess the iniquities of my youth. You put my feet in the stocks and kept watch over all my paths. You set a limit for the soles of my feet, while I am decaying like a rotten thing, like a garment that is moth-eaten. If a man dies, will he live again? Man, who is born of woman, is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not stand. You also open your eyes on him and bring me into judgment with yourself. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, and his limits you have set so that he cannot pass. Turn your gaze from him, that he may cease from toil, until he accepts his day like a hired man. For there is hope for a tree, when it is cut down, that it will change back, sprouting again, and its shoots will not cease. Though its roots grow old in the ground and its stump dies in the dry soil, at the scent of water it will flourish and put forth sprigs like a plant. But man dies and lies prostrate. Man breathes his last, and where is he? As water evaporates from the sea and a river becomes parched and dried up, so man lies down and does not rise. Until the heavens are no longer, he will not awake nor be aroused out of his sleep. Oh, that you would conceal me in Sheol, that you would hide me until your anger returns to you, that you would set a limit for me and remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my labor, I will wait until my change comes. You will call and I will answer you. You will long for the work of your hands. For now you number my steps. You do not keep watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you cover up my iniquity. But the failing mountain crumbles away, and the rock moves from its place. Water wears away stones. Its torrents wash away the dust of the earth. So you make man's hope perish. You forever overpower him and he goes away. You alter his appearance and send him away. His sons achieve honor, but he does not know it. Or they become insignificant, but he does not perceive it. But his flesh pains him, and he mourns only for himself. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "Should a wise man answer with windy knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? Should he argue with a word that cannot be used, or with speech which is not profitable? Indeed, you annul reverent fear and cut off musing before God. For your iniquity teaches your mouth, and you choose the tongue of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you, and not I, and your own lips answer against you. Were you the first man to be born, or were you brought forth before the hills? Do you hear the secret counsel of God and cut down wisdom only unto yourself? What do you know that we do not know? What do you understand that is not with us? Both the gray-haired and the aged are among us, older than your father. Are the consolations of God too small for you? Even the words spoken gently with you? Why does your heart take you away? And why do your eyes flash, that you should turn your spirit against God and allow such words to go out of your mouth? What is man that he should be pure? Or he who is born of a woman, that he should be righteous? Behold, he puts no faith in his holy ones, and the heavens are not pure in his sight. How much less one who is abominable and corrupt, man who drinks unrighteousness like water? I will tell you, listen to me, and what I have beheld I will also recount. What wise men have told and have not concealed from their fathers, to whom alone the land was given and no stranger passed among them. The wicked man writhes in pain all his days, and numbered are the years stored up for the ruthless. Sounds of dread are in his ears, while at peace the destroyer comes upon him. He does not believe that he will return from darkness, and he is destined for the sword. He wanders about for food, saying, "Where is it?" He knows that a day of darkness is ready at his hand. Distress and anguish terrify him. They overpower him like a king ready for the attack, because he has stretched out his hand against God and magnifies himself against the Almighty. He rushes headlong at him with his massive shield, for he has covered his face with his fat and made his thighs heavy with flesh. He has dwelt in desolate cities, in houses no one would inhabit, which are destined to become ruins. He will not become rich, nor will his wealth endure, and his grain will not stretch out over the land. He will not be able to depart from darkness. The flame will wither his shoots, and by the breath of his mouth he will depart. Let him not believe in emptiness, deceiving himself, for emptiness will be his reward when his days are not yet fulfilled and his palm branch is not green. He will drop off his unripe grape like the vine, and will cast off his flower like the olive tree. For the company of the godless is barren, and fire consumes the tents of the corrupt. They conceive trouble and give birth to wickedness, and their belly prepares deception. First Corinthians 15, 29 through 58. Otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Why are we also in danger every hour? I affirm, brothers, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become righteously sober-minded and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But someone will say, "How are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come?" You fool! That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body, just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a corruptible body, it is raised an incorruptible body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, "The first man, Adam, became a living soul." the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. And just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the corruptible inherit the incorruptible. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on the incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible puts on the incorruptible, and this mortal puts on immortality, then will come about the word that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Psalm 39. Yahweh, make me know my end. For the choir director, for Jeduthun, the Psalm of David. I said, I will keep watch over my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I will keep watch over my mouth as with a muzzle, while the wicked are in my presence. I was mute with silence. I even kept silent from speaking good, and my anguish grew worse. My heart was hot within me. While I meditated, the fire was burning. Then I spoke with my tongue, "Yahweh, cause me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing before you. Surely every man, even standing firm, is altogether vanity." Selah. Surely every man walks about as a shadow. Surely they make an uproar in vain. He piles up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I hope in? My expectation is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the wicked fool. I have become mute. I do not open my mouth, because it is you who have done it. Remove your plague from me. Because of the opposition of your hand, I am wasting away. With reproofs you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Yahweh, and give ear to my cry for help. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a foreign resident like all my fathers. Turn your gaze away from me that I may smile again before I go and am no more. Proverbs Proverbs 21, 30, and 31. There is no wisdom, there is no discernment, and there is no counsel against Yahweh. The horse is set for the day of battle, but salvation belongs to Yahweh. All right, so in our time in Job today, we see this contrast, this dichotomy between Job's claims of his innocence and his trauma and his suffering, and his friends getting more agitated in their responses and trying to help him reason it all out. And Job just wants his friends to be fair. The problem was that he was asking them to be impartial witnesses between him and God, which they were not, you know, which they couldn't do. And so Job's friends believed that God could not possibly be to blame for Job's misfortune. He could be the cause of it, but only if Job deserved what he, you know, what happened to him. So in their view, Job needed to deeply examine his own heart and repent of his pride. Right? I mean, all of this is here for us to wrestle with, because it all, that makes sense, right? But Job is sticking to the conviction that he was not to blame, like he was righteous before God. He says, are you defending God with lies? Do you make your dishonest arguments for his sake? Will you slant your testimony in his favor? Will you argue God's case for him? So Job's frustration is born out of the fact that he and his friends all believed God to be righteous and holy and all-powerful. They all believed that God was good and just, and yet Job sincerely also believed that he did not do anything unholy before God to receive the judgment of God in the way that he had. And the trauma that he was in, that was inflicted on him, which is what he assumed was happening. And Job felt like he knew all of the things his friends were telling him. They were things that he would say. They were things that he had said. They weren't bringing him any wisdom that he didn't already have. But the problem still was there. If God was just and good, and Job was innocent and righteous, then why, right? Why did this happen? So Job is begging and pleading to understand, and he's frustrated because there aren't answers. Like, human wisdom is not adequate to answer what he's dealing with. Probably in our own story, we've probably felt that way in one way or another. So what he wants is not human wisdom that he already possesses. He wants to argue his case before God himself in person. How do you do that? Where do you find him? What would you possibly say if you did find him and did have the ability? What could you say that would make a difference? This is what he's wrestling with, which brings us truly, in my opinion, one of the most poignant, riveting verses in the whole Bible. Even if he kills me, I will still hope in him. There is no other hope. That is, man, that just catches me. I think that's something we should consider deeply when we spend time in the wilderness contemplating whatever it is we might be going through. Because in essence, Job's posture was that even if pursuing God proved to be hopeless, still he would hope in God. And that's something to wrestle with. Like, that is a perspective to truly grapple with. because it moves way beyond a theological construct for understanding God, as if, and far beyond the circumstances of our life. Job is describing a hope, wow, that just is unshakable, even in the face of absolute abject hopelessness. And hope is the bridge that gives faith a path forward. And so maybe, well, that's where the Bible has led us. So maybe contemplating, even if he kills me, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Father, that is a reaching for you, despite the questions, the confusion, the anguish, the pain, the suffering of the traumas of our lives. And we invite your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of comfort, into that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, these are home base. And this is where you get connected and is the premier way to take the journey as a community. So be connected, stay connected. The community section is a place to connect. The prayer wall lives there. A lot of things live there. Record a video there. Let me see your face. I look at all those. I'm standing here and I know we're together around the global campfire, but I can't see you. Like, we know we're in this together, but let me see your face. Click the record a video button in the community section. Check out the music that's in the community section. Just take 5 minutes and click those buttons. There's a lot of resources in there. Some really good things to watch. So check them out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
What's up, Dad Fam? Hey, this is Cowboy. I just wanted to come on here and thank everyone that took time out your day to pray for me and my heart in this pride situation. Fellow traveler in Maine, one traveling chick in Texas, Chad and Steve, Anonymous out in California, Mark the baby doctor, Shaking in Washington. I listened to that old song. That's pretty good. I like that. So that's pretty accurate. And there's so many of y'all, and I just greatly, greatly appreciate it. And I know that y'all have got all y'all stuff too, and so I've set plenty of time aside and just prayed for y'all and man, just the whole community. I set time aside and I just pray for y'all. And, cause I think that is the most powerfulest thing that we can do. And so, I greatly appreciate it. And I know there's been a little bit of concern about my heart and all this stuff. And so it's just something that God's laid on me. I had the opportunity to take jobs. I had insurance. And it's just like God's just closing the door on those. And it's just, this is all him. And it's none of it's me. And so, I'm not afraid or anything like that. I just, it just turning over the reins of my life to him is very new. It's very new. You know, for 45 years, it's always been me. So, yeah, that's just what it is, and it's just trusting. So, thank y'all again. I appreciate it and love y'all.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Karen in Florida. I'm calling in with a prayer request today. I ask that you join me in prayer for my 3-year-old grandson, Nikolai. Nikolai, or as we love to call him, Nico, has been struggling in his short life with his bowel movements. He has been to see several doctors who have put him on laxatives. His mom and dad are also doing their best to help him by giving him fibrous foods and plenty of water as instructed by those doctors. Unfortunately, because of his fear of the pain, he holds it in a lot, and it's become a major source of frustration in his life, and mom and dad are doing everything they can to try and help him. So I just ask you, please join me in prayer for my grandson, Nico, that he would be healed from this. I pray also for my daughter, Rochelle, and James's eyes, that they would see the hand of God in this healing, that they may turn and believe in the power of the living God. Lord, I thank you for Nico. I thank you for gifting us with this wonderful little boy. Father, you see the issues that he's having in this part of his life, and it's causing a lot of frustration for him, as well as his mom and dad. I pray that you would heal his digestive system. I speak healing to his digestive system and pray, Father God, that you would get all the glory for this, that through this, his mom and dad and he would begin to see how you are there, that you are real, and that you love them very much. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you again for praying with me for my son, my grandson, Nikolai, my daughter, Rochelle, and her hubby, James. Have a blessed day.
Morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Elizabeth from Lexington, Angel in Training. And I'm just calling today to share some things from the podcast on August 19th and the prayer requests. I was just really blessed by Diana, his dearly beloved in the Pacific Northwest. She was just grateful for the prayers for her father, who was released to the loving arms of Jesus. And she mentioned something that I thought just really touched me, that Junk to Treasure had said in one of her calls. And she said, "We don't fight our battles for victory. We fight our battles from victory." What a precious truth that is, and how glorious it is that we can learn from one another and be blessed. And I'm just sure that that's how the Lord intended it. I just also wanted to mention that I was so grateful to hear from Renzo from Florida. It had been quite a while. And brother, I am just pleased to hear that you are still walking the path with the Lord. And I know that your path is rocky and steep and difficult. And I have been praying for you and will continue. I would also like to mention to you that Lisa called from Texas, and her prayer that she, or her praise report that she called in, was just amazing. I'm a retired nurse, and her stats that she mentioned about having a body temperature of 91 and an O2 saturation of 37%, man, those are like incompatible with life. And so nothing is too hard.
Good morning. This is John from West Texas. Just wanted to call in and thank all the prayer warriors that call in daily, and for all of us that typically stay in the backgrounds and pray too, just continue to lift each and every one of you up. Daniel Johnson Jr., thank you for checking in. Even though the news that you gave us wasn't quite what we're looking for, I continue to pray for you, brother, and for Brian and the rest of the Harden family and the team that put this incredible resource together and man it daily. Thank you. It's changed my life. I know it's changed so many others. Again, thank you. God bless each and every one of you. Have a great day. Good morning. This is John from West Texas with another request. I just would like to lift up my wife and daughter. They're school teachers that are back in school, but students come back to school this following week. It's August 16th today. Just lift them up, and all of our Christian teachers that, all of our teachers need our support desperately. The job that they do is very difficult, very demanding, and resources are limited. So just lift them up, pray that God would be with them, help them to see that what they're doing is meaningful and impactful to young people. Thank you. Have a great week.
Hi, this is Just Right for Jesus, and today I'm calling in for beloved in Bakersfield. My sweet sister in Christ, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the lovely, heartfelt prayers you take the time to write in for our family's children. With a baby girl on the way, they hit even deeper than before, and I just appreciate them so much. You are so faithful and consistent in the Word of God. Your voice is gentle and calming. Your kids are so blessed to have such a strong, smart, kind-hearted, and hard-working mother in Christ. Every call you make, my wife and I cherish deeply, and I would like to take a moment to lift your kids up to our Heavenly Father, as you do so often for all of us. Dear Jesus, we come before you humbly and pray that you draw beloved's children close to you, God. Help them grow and learn your word at a young age. Protect them from the things of this world. I pray for a supernatural shield around her children, God, that they may have their eyes fixed on you at a young age, that their hearts will seek your word, that they will be shepherds leading brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world to your wonderful glory and kingdom. We pray you help our kids grow up to love you and honor you in all that they do. Help them be obsessed with knowing you better and strengthening their faith. Help them be the light wherever they go. Thank you, God, for the gift of children. Give beloved the strength and energy she needs to continue to be the awesome sister in Christ that you have created her to be. Give her the time to continue to call in for our kids. And I pray many blessings over beloved for all the time she has dedicated to this family. We pray, God, that you overflow her cup for the gift that she is to this community. I love and appreciate you so much, beloved. Thank you. And just remember, family, if you don't feel like you belong where you're at in life, or you don't fit in with the circles around you, just know you're always just right for Jesus. I love you, family.
I am so very glad that Daily Audio Bible exists. I have been listening for years, and you all have brought so much comfort. My name is Ruthie, and I live in Central Florida. And I'm asking that if the Lord touches your heart to do intercessory prayer, I have two adult daughters that do not want anything to do with me. I long for them. I pray for them so often, so fervently. Their dad, my late husband, has been gone now for about 4.5 years. And I'm not allowed to see my grandchildren. They live in California. And it's causing me great sadness. And the stress is actually manifesting in my body because of such sadness. And so I ask that you would please pray that the Lord would do a miracle and give them a heart of flesh as opposed to a heart of stone. For his glory and our good, I thank you all so much.